All right, let's get started. Hello, my name is Brian Jones. I am the group program manager for a team called the Office Developer Platform. And so we focus on everything that is extensibility for Office, Office 365, SharePoint. I've been in Office for, it'll be 15 years this August, and almost entirely focused on the developer story. Everything from file formats, even like HTML back when that was a big thing we were doing from Office. And so there's a number of things that I'm pretty excited to talk to you guys about today. Thank you so much for coming out, and let me walk through a bunch of stuff that we've been working on. Some of this stuff will be things that we've shipped with Office 2013, and also cover some of the new things that we kicked off this spring, starting with some of the announcements that we made at SharePoint Conference. So the kind of key way that we think about this, and there's a lot about just the history of development inside of Office. There's a huge set of people that go and develop on Office. Roughly 3.5 million developers build solutions on top of Office. The ways in which people have been extending Office have been shifting a bit. It used to be that you'd see a lot of rich COM add-ins that people would build as kind of key ways of driving the business. A lot of that has started to move more towards the web, though. But we still do see a really rich investment there. Office 365, I'm sure folks have seen the numbers, is just growing phenomenally. And it's a big thing for us to focus on how the platform maps to that new world. Over 1 billion users, so really a really interesting set of folks that you can go and target with solutions, like when we go and talk to ISVs. And obviously like a huge amount of familiarity. So if you're going and building internal apps, going and targeting Office is a really safe bet in terms of what your user experiences are going to be like. But we do realize that the models that we had in the past, like VBA, COM add-ins, full trust code, and SharePoint, would cause a little bit of a challenge. And so that's some of the stuff that I'll talk about today. So the journey that we've gone on, if you look back in the 90s, when you had things like COM add-ins, VBA, VBA was pretty revolutionary at the time. It's been around for a long time now. But if you think about what made Office so successful, it was that empowerment of end users. The end users could go and solve problems for themselves. And with things like VBA and Mac recording, you'd have these people that could go and boot up Excel. They weren't developers in any way, but they knew that there was some business problem they needed to solve. And they would slowly fall into solving that by building out a solution in Excel. Excel essentially was an IDE for building an app. Every spreadsheet in a way is an app, whether it have formulas or then you get into macro recording and then you actually have some pretty interesting logic that goes and gets built up. As we then move forward into the 2000s, early 2000s with SharePoint Exchange, we did start focusing more on work group based solutions, so solutions that spanned a group of people rather than just making that one person more productive. And that really was where more of the money got spent. If you looked at where solutions were funded, it was all solutions that would fund work group productivity, getting a big group of people to work together and solve a problem. Now, the newest shift that we've got is devices and the cloud. And that causes a big disruption, especially in the way that we traditionally had thought about Office development. You have people using Office on multiple devices now. We had the announcements that we made around Office for iPad. We've had the web apps for quite a while now where you can just from any browser go and log in and start interacting with Office. And so clearly that COM add-in model just didn't map to that new world. And as we start thinking about these different devices, there's also this huge, exciting new set of solutions that we think people are going to start to build. Just like we have when we use our devices kind of in our personal life, we have all these little point solutions. You know, you've got your app to go and track the weather, and you've got your app for movie times, and your app for directions and maps. You're going to see the same thing as people start to get more into the BYOD, bringing devices to work, where there'll be these little point solutions that will solve specific problems, whether it be a workflow-based solution, analyzing data. And so the big suite of large monolithic apps like Excel, Word, Outlook, that's not going to solve all the problems. People will expect these more tailored point solutions. And so we in Office have had to think a lot about what's the role we play there. Clearly, we're not going to build all of those point solutions because they're going to be different depending on the scenario, the vertical, the company. But we do want to go and provide a rich set of services that power those, because we think that there's a lot of things that live inside of office services, like documents, calendars, mail, communications, that really are super relevant for those solutions if they have to do with productivity and people getting work done. One of the things I wanted to quickly get a little bit of a poll on and understand just a little bit about people's background. So this is asking for a little bit of audience participation in my first demo, too. Some of you may have seen this in Rolando's talk earlier, but I'm actually curious about what kind of experience folks have. So I'm going to go and insert an app here to help me ask that question. So for folks that aren't familiar, inside of the Office clients in 2013, we introduced a feature called Apps for Office. And so here I'm in PowerPoint, and I can go and say insert app. I can go off to the store and find a set of apps that have been built by different ISVs that I can go and insert into this solution. I also have my organization's apps, so the apps that have been built internally. These are just apps that my IT department has gone and made available to me. And then, of course, I have my set of my apps that I've gone and kind of pinned and said those are the ones I want to go and use. And this is an app that was built by a partner of ours called Poll Everywhere that I'm going to go and insert into the file. And all this is it's, they've had this service for a while that lets you go and do polls when you're doing presentations. And so I'm going to go and create a poll. It's multiple choice, 5 questions. And these folks just had a website that they would go and use that they've had. And when we went and reached out to them and asked them about building an app, in just a matter of, I think it was about 2.5 weeks, we talked to them just before SharePoint conference, they went and packaged up their solution, packaged it as an app for Office, and put it up into the store. Apps for Office are essentially just web pages running inside of Office that can interact with Office. So if I went on this solution, I could right-click, say View Source, and I've just got a bunch of HTML. So that's sitting there running inside of PowerPoint. And now what I'd like if folks could do me the courtesy of texting into this number 22333, and then all you need to do is text the what your vote is. And you can do multiple. I'm just curious if people have more experience with SharePoint or the Office Rich Clients, Exchange. OpenXML was just a thing that I did a long time ago, which I like to just poll on every once in a while. Or, of course, none of the above. None of the above. So a couple things that's kind of fun about this. By having this HTML just running there inside of the PowerPoint rich client, you can do some pretty powerful extensions. There's a rich API that this app can use to go and interact with the presentation. Like if I change the theme of the presentation, the app would go and react to that so it could look like it's just a native part of the presentation. And it also makes it really easy to go and deploy these things. Like I said, these guys went and built this app in just about 2.5 weeks. So not a lot of Exchange, mainly SharePoint and some Office clients. That's great, because we'll focus on all, but I will make sure that we spend plenty of time on SharePoint and the clients. So let me now, this is my apologies part, because the next two slides I'm going to show, I didn't get any help from the marketing guys on, so they're not quite as neat and polished as the couple that I had before. I don't even know if you guys noticed, they had really neat animations when I would go and transition and all that stuff, things that I can't do. But these are just two slides that I created for just some internal discussions I was having about a month or two ago with some other partner groups, just about where we're going with the model. And I think it's kind of a useful way of seeing how we're framing this all up. So the old world, where you had a PC on every desk, you really, most of the solutions were focused around that individual productivity. Your app really, most apps ran inside of Office. Like Office was the platform. Office was the host for your solution. You'd write a COM add-in, you had to go and deploy that onto the user's machine. That was a big pain in itself. And really, the thing was just all about running in the context of Excel and making the person more productive inside of Excel, using those native runtimes. As I'd mentioned in the other slides, though, the world's changed quite a bit, right? With things like cloud, mobile, really solutions and what we see people spending money on when they build internal solutions are no longer about that one person. It's really hard to find people they're spending a bunch of money making on individual productivity. It's all about a group of people being more productive. And so the shift for us has been to think of Office not as the platform, but really the cloud or the web as the platform. That's where people are going and building their solutions. That's where they run. There's tons of great tooling out there. If you see in the talks like that the Azure guys are doing, man, there's some great stuff between VS and Azure about building these cloud applications. Well, we think Office plays a really important role in those when it comes to productivity, because we have a rich set of endpoints, endpoints like Word or Excel, PowerPoint, on different devices that users are very familiar with, and they can create a lot of really rich content. So for one, we want to say, hey, if you're building one of these rich cloud applications, Office can be a place that you can go and project your experiences into. Think of those as part in your toolbox. And we also have a very, very rich set of services that have somewhat been untapped. Like, if you think about the amount of interesting, important data that is inside of Exchange, and for the most part, it's really just leveraged through the Outlook clients. But there's a lot of powerful data there that could be used for building really powerful solutions. And so at SharePoint Conference about 2.5 months ago, we announced the Office 365 APIs that are in preview right now. And the first set of APIs that we went and announced were mail, calendar, documents, and people. And so you've got this rich, this RESTful API now that you can go and call off into from any solution that you want, whether it's running on a mobile device, it's a web solution, and it can go and interact with that data. And this is just the beginning. We're going to go and continue to add and improve on these APIs. Like, if you think about the documents ones, for now, we just treat documents like a black box, where you can go and call in the API and go and see what documents are in a document library. But we actually have knowledge of what's inside of those documents. And so we'll go and look at APIs to go and actually allow you to have richer interrogation into those documents, just as an example. And then, of course, you want to be able to go and integrate third-party services and solution and experiences into that, too. So really, when you think about it, it's no longer about your solution being a thing that gets installed into Excel. Your solution is much bigger than any of the things that we build. We just provide a set of endpoints your solution can integrate with and a set of services that your solution can consume. And this is the direction we're going. This is what when we did the cloud app model and apps for Office in 2013, it was with this vision in mind. And we're going to continue to invest in this going forward. So I've got a couple demos that I want to show that do a pretty decent job of kind of giving a hint of this, like how you would think about doing this. I got a mouthful of ice when I drink that water, sorry. I know there's ice in there. So this is a demo that we showed at SharePoint Conference, and I think it does a really good job of kind of talking about the different pieces and how they tie together. So the scenario here is pretty basic. I can start an easiest way to kind of introduce the scenario is just to go and show the experience inside of SharePoint first. So here inside of SharePoint, I've got this set of marketing campaigns. So I'm using SharePoint. Let me zoom in too here so folks can see the text a little bit better. This is just a SharePoint list. It's got a set of different campaigns that are going on, and it has a workflow that goes and manages that. So for folks that aren't familiar, SharePoint has really rich workflow integration. You can have workflows on objects in SharePoint like documents or items in a list. And so when new items get added to this list, a workflow kicks off. It goes and lets people know, hey, there's a new campaign that's being proposed. It gives tasks to those people. They can go and approve them. And there's just a series of stages that you go through in terms of getting one of these things approved. I can come here to SharePoint to go and manage that set of campaigns. Each one of these has a site that backs it. So it's got like a set of documents, project timeline, even communications and things like that all back one of these campaigns. And that's all automatically created by this solution. The solution runs off in Azure. All of the logic for this custom solution was built, runs in Azure. It's an Azure app. But it integrates with SharePoint using SharePoint list data. And then it also has a couple integrations with Outlook, the Outlook rich client, and even a mobile device experience. So the first thing I'll do is show how this solution, in addition to leveraging SharePoint and SharePoint data, can go and integrate with experience right where people are, and that's inside of Outlook. So here I am inside of Outlook. This is the Outlook web app. Everything I'll show would also work in the Outlook rich client, of course. But it should be clear that everything that we're focused on going forward is the ways that you extend our experiences should work cross-platform, cross-device, because that's just where we're going with Office and with the Office clients. So I'm here inside of Outlook. I have this email that I've received from Contoso Images. They are one of our potential customers, and so what I want to do is I want to go and propose that we create a new marketing campaign and use that same workflow, that solution that was kicked off, that I went and showed. First of all, inside of Outlook, I have apps, just like that app that I showed inside of PowerPoint that I inserted. Insightly is an app that I can go and show. So when I got this email from Contoso Images, I can go in and bring up Insightly. Insightly is a really cool CRM app, totally web-based, cloud-based CRM app. I can go and bring up the Insightly app on this mail. It goes and it can go and interrogate the contents of the mail. It sees that it was from Contoso Images. I'm logged in with my Insightly account. So it just goes and sees, hey, you already have this person, Contoso Images. And I can even go and do things like save the email to Insightly. I can go and create a new task or an opportunity. I can go and see what the recent history was. There was an email that someone else had gone and saved that came from here. So all of that right in the context of Outlook. This even works if folks have ever used the what we just refer to as MOA, Mobile Outlook Web App. There's actually an app you can get like for your iPhone these apps would go and work in too. Of course, the UI is going to be a little bit different because the real estate's changed. So when you go and click on that app, it would just go and take over the UI, and when you're done, it flips back to the email. But again, that idea of these things working cross-device, and since they're just HTML, it's much easier for us to go and support that. But what I want to do is I'm going to go and reply to this mail from Contoso Images. And I'm going to insert an app that's an internal app. It's the marketing campaign app. So when my company went and built that internal solution that's running off in Azure, they have integration with SharePoint. They're using those SharePoint lists. And they also specified that they wanted to go and expose UI inside of Outlook. So I'm here inside of Outlook, and I can go and propose a new marketing campaign. So I can say, the new marketing campaign I want is, it's from Contoso Images, so it's the new headshot service. I can go and say, this should be super cool. And as I was mentioning, there's workflow behind this, and so what I can do is I can go and specify who the different approvers are for this. And you can see that the app even goes and calls off to Exchange and sees people's status, so it sees that one of the approvers is Oof, so they don't show up as one of the people that I can go and specify. I'm going to go and hit submit request. It's going to go off. Essentially, behind the scenes, what's doing is updating that SharePoint list, which then kicks off the workflow to notify the different people that they have to go and approve that campaign. And it even goes and updates this email with where I can go and click here for more information. So the next thing I want to show is actually, let's show the device piece. Yeah, sorry about that. That's probably the best way to go and show this. So I'm going to show the next piece of this solution, which is the device experience. So the same solution, the developers for this built a mobile app. This is an Android device. Let me go and switch over and make sure this is projecting. Yeah, cool. All right, so I've got this app here. It's called Campaign Manager. And I'm going to go and launch. And what this app is going to do, this is an Android app. This is just a fully native Android app. And what it does is it goes and calls off to those O365 APIs. So it's calling off to SharePoint, and it's going and looking and seeing what are the campaigns that are in progress. So you can see here that there's two different campaigns that are right now pending approval. There's one campaign that we went and created, this new headshot service, where it's awaiting approval from Alex. And then after that, Dorena is supposed to go and approve it. There's a spring campaign, which was one that was already created that Alex has approved already. And I can go and flip through here and see the campaigns that are already approved. So these are all the things that are in progress. So I've got this nice, rich mobile app here that I can go and use to interact with that SharePoint data. Right? This is all very custom UI using those APIs. And like I said, every one of these campaigns has a site that's created with it. So if I go and click on the back to school campaign, for example, it's going to go and bring up SharePoint now, the SharePoint UI, and I'll be able to see that. So every one of these campaigns, as soon as they get approved, one of these sites is automatically created for them, where you get the project timeline and all of that great stuff. All the reasons why you would want to go and use SharePoint for that collaboration. I'm going to come back here to the app, and let me go and approve one of these. I'll just go and approve this spring campaign. So I'm Dorena in this example. I'll just go and hit the check mark, go and say approve. The app now goes and calls off to the list again, updates that information, and kicks off the next stage of the workflow. So the first two stages of the workflow were for Alex and Drena to go and approve them, and they got emails about that. After they've approved, the next stage is to actually go and provision the site, which in itself is a pretty big deal. That your app can go and do all that provisioning. You can automatically go and provision that site, set up all the things that you want, and then that way the users don't have to go and do all of that. So if I come back here to the set of campaigns in progress, you'll now see that the spring campaign shows up over there because we've approved it. If I go and click on the link, you'll see that there's now a new site that was automatically provisioned for me that has all that starting point for me, the project timeline, the documents, and all of that. So a really nice example of that solution that spans all of Office. It spans the clients like Outlook. It integrates with SharePoint as a rich set of data. And it even has mobile experiences, mobile devices. And that mobile device didn't have any Office GUI in it at all. It was using Office services, but it was all just custom Android GUI that it was going and using. Another example I want to go and show, this is an internal app. And I like this one because it goes and shows the idea of you being able to go and build your own solutions and leveraging all of those different pieces. And in fact, one of the things that a bit of a mistake that we made when we went and announced the 2013 app models is we talked a lot about the store. Folks that probably followed along with the news, like a lot of things we talked about was the store and how the store was this new way of distributing these apps. Realistically, the majority of Office development, you know, 80, 90% of Office development is internal or through consultants, SIs, ISVs that you have a very direct partnership with that build custom solutions. The solutions that matter most to people on top of Office are those ones that are very tailored to specific business processes for any one of our customers. And so while the store is neat, and we're really excited about the store as a new distribution model for our ISVs, it's really important that to recognize that the app model was designed primarily for those internal solutions. And so there's the public store on Outlook.com or Office.com that you can go to. But there, you also have your own internal store. We call it the app catalog. It's just SharePoint. You can use SharePoint. You have a list of all of your apps. And then all of your users can go and get those apps and use them. And so this one's a great example because it's one of these internal apps. The next thing I want to show, though, is a couple of apps from the store. And so let me switch back here really quick. So there's two that I want to go and show. Actually, Insightly was one that I already showed. That one, Insightly, was really cool. Like they'd gone and built an experience on top of Gmail a little while ago. We went and approached them, talked to them about the new app model, and it was pretty easy for them to go and take that solution that they already built and map it into Outlook. We also had a big partnership that we announced a couple months ago with DocuSign, where DocuSign is going and building solutions that integrate across the experiences. So here I am on this mail from Contoso Images. In addition to kicking off the campaign, they wanted me to go and sign a form to release the rights to my headshot. So typically, I could go and take that document, print it out, sign it, and fax it back to them, a little bit of a PIA. Instead, what I'll do is I'll go and use this DocuSign app. It lets me log in with my O365 credentials. If I have an existing DocuSign account, I can use that. Otherwise, I can just log in with my O365 credentials. They're going to go and use Office Services to go and render that document. That was just a DocX. And this is nice. It's right here inside of Outlook. It's going to go and render that, show me the document. It'll let me go if I want to. It'll let me go and save it to my OneDrive for Business. It's a nice little, actually, it's a touch-friendly app, too. So I can quickly just scroll down, find that spot that I was supposed to sign, go and click on the signature, drag and drop it, and then just send it back. So I don't have to go and do the printout or any of that stuff, right? Nice, convenient, right there in the flow. These are the reasons why people typically want to extend Outlook. People live in Outlook today. That's where people get their work done. And so the more contextual information you can bring in Outlook, the more productive people can be and efficient folks can be. So a nice, really simple example. If I go over to my OneDrive, I could also go and click on any document like this mutual NDA. DocuSign shows up here inside of the SharePoint UI as well. So I can go and sign a document, an app right there, a document right there from SharePoint. If I'm inside of Word, it integrates. So the idea of that one solution that DocuSign has built, then integrating with the different endpoints and experiences that we have inside of Office. And DocuSign did a great job on this. All right. I do have to mention that I request that you hold all applause until the end. And I can tell you're following that so far, so thank you for that. All right. Let me keep moving here. So, O365 platform, we think of it as kind of three key pillars. O365 APIs, that one is really the new one. Even internally, when we go and talk with partner teams, it's taking us a while to really go and shift how folks think about Office development. Like I said, Office development had always been about just getting stuff loaded into Office. And so the idea of Office just being a rich set of services that power other experiences, other apps, is somewhat new. And it's pretty exciting. We're really starting to see a lot of the teams that we work with coming up with a bunch of new scenarios. Like the OneNote guys have been really out in front on this. They announced a OneNote service at the same time of a SharePoint conference that you can go and use to go and just quickly go and have any app go and stream data right into OneNote. Just capturing information. It's a really nice, super simple API, but really, really powerful. The set of documents, mails, calendar. When you think about any app you're going to go and build that has anything to do with productivity, people getting work done, it's hard to imagine that not having some tie back to Office and Office services. If it's got anything to do with people's time, people organizing things, it's going to want to tie into their calendar. People aren't going to want to have a bunch of these different mobile apps for productivity that are all disconnected. They're all on these different islands. And Office services are a thing that can go and tie that all together. It doesn't mean that your app needs to run on Office. It doesn't mean that it completely depends fully on Office. It may have a whole bunch of logic and IP that has nothing to do with Office. But most likely, it's going to have tiebacks into things like documents, communications, scheduling, all of the things that people use Office for, all of those systems of action. And so that's why we're going and exposing these APIs. Contextual apps, that's just our bread and butter. That's what Office had always been about, getting some stuff to show up inside of Office. And like you saw with the Outlook example, there's a lot of reasons why. That's where people are living today. One of the things, though, that we really want to do is make it feel more like Office is just like an extension of your solution. So your solution may be a very broad thing, but at some point, someone may want to compose a document or an email, or they may want to analyze some data inside of Excel. And so that ability to go and pop some UI, launch Excel, have some custom UI that shows up right inside of there that's driven by your solution is really powerful. Because users still keep that context. They're still tied back to the larger solution that they're a part of. And I'll show an example or two of that. And then the last one is around tools. The Visual Studio guys have just done some outstanding stuff. I'll show you some of that. Really, for folks who have tried other IDEs, other development platforms, like Visual Studio is bar none the best of breed, right? And they've done a lot of great stuff for making it a lot easier to go and build these solutions. To build apps that integrate with the clients, to go and build standalone device apps, web services that tie into Office 365 APIs. And then another one that you'll see us talk more about is Access, which we hadn't talked a lot about for a while. Access was a big deal a long time ago, but we've been kind of quiet around that. But we've started to make some big investments in Access around end users being able to craft these types of solutions. Like I said at the beginning, that's where Office got a lot of its success, right? From things like macro recording in Excel. There's a lot of small businesses that still run on Access. Right? They use Access to track all of their data. And so we're going and bringing Access into this new world where Access is the way for end users to go and build these cloud apps, these cloud solutions. And you've seen some of that with 2013. And if you haven't tried it out, I highly encourage you to. Try Access 2013. It lets you go and build apps for SharePoint. The data lives in SQL Azure. So from an IT perspective, there's a lot of control and visibility into that, unlike the old world where you had just MBD files kind of floating around all over the place. You have an easy way to go and manage those. And end users can have this really quick, easy on-ramp to go and building these solutions. That whole management of solutions was a big, big thing that we focused on. For any folks that have tried to manage Office solutions, you know, it's a little bit hard to know, like, what's all the VBA that's out there, what were all the Access apps. We would go and build tools. We built a tool probably about 10 years ago that let people go and scan all of the machines that were out there to see what access solutions there were, like what MBD files there were. And we had one example, one customer, they only had about 500 seats, but they ran that tool, found a couple thousand access apps that were out there, and then they went and tested every single one of those before they would upgrade to the new version. Most likely, most of those weren't all business critical apps, but there's no telemetry, there's no way of finding that. You couldn't track how heavily used they were. And so we're really focused a lot on giving you more insight into what people are doing, what's important, helping you predict that next fire that might come up, and trying to make that deployment, that upgrade, much simpler. So let me show a couple examples of O365 services. The easiest way is just to go and look at some of these. Like, so let me go and bring up, let's actually just go to this set of documents in my OneDrive. So we have that rich RESTful API. So right here off of this URL for my OneDrive, I can just go and say underscore API, WAC files. Go and zoom this in so you can actually see that. And this just gives a nice RESTful interface that lets me go and see what are all the files that are in that OneDrive. First two of these were folders. Here's the first document. It's an Excel file. It's a type file. So a really nice, simple API you can go and call. And you can go and quickly navigate and see what are all the documents. And it's total CRUD. You can go and update these files, push new documents up there. Another thing that we've done is what we refer to as our discovery service. And this is also just part of the preview. But for folks that have played around with Office 365, you may be aware that not everybody follows a predictable URL. Like, people may have vanity domains. And so if you're trying to build a generic app that will work across everybody's OneDrive, it's really hard to know what is the URL that you need to go and hit to find their documents in the first place. And so we built a discovery service. It's a single API you can go and call. You pass us the user's email, and as long as the user gives you permission, we'll then go and give you a pointer to where their OneDrive is, or where their calendar is, or where their mail is. Right? So a really easy way for your app to, in a more robust way, go and connect the data that matters to those users. Users know what their email is. They don't usually know what their OneDrive URL is. So this is a really simple thing you can go and connect to. And right away, because of this, because it's just REST, you can go and connect to this from any platform. Right? You can go and build an iOS app that goes and connects to SharePoint or Exchange, an Android app. But the other thing that we're doing is we're working on richer tooling and SDKs to go and make it even easier. So one example is we built an SDK for Android. So actually, if you go to GitHub, we're now pretty active in GitHub. In fact, most of the demos that I'm showing you, in fact, that first demo I showed, that MarkCom demo, that's just up here in GitHub. It's just a project up here in GitHub. You can go and get it, play around with it, see all the places where it's super robust and all the places where it's still kind of demo-ware and there's a very specific path you need to click through to actually get the thing to work. It's a little mixture of both. But another project that's up here is this Android SDK. So it's an open source project. We went and created it, put it up there. It's active. Folks can go and contribute. They can go and use this. So if you want to go and build an Android app that connects to O365, this SDK makes it really easy to go and get started. In fact, there's an example app in here. I'll demo right now, actually. It's a kind of fun little app. So this was me just being kind of the irresponsible guy suggesting demos to the team that aren't really based in any real scenario. But I'll try and spin a scenario around this demo. Imagine you do a lot of field calls, like you're a plumber or repairman or something, and those all just get scheduled on your calendar. So you go and you bring up your calendar and you see where you're supposed to go next. What this app does is it will go and connect to your calendar. In fact, if I go and launch this right here, it goes and connects to my calendar. It'll show me the list of meetings. But it also has I don't know what they call it exactly in Android, but essentially like a share charm. So off of any picture, it'll let me go and share pictures with that app. So I have this meeting going on right now, which is this presentation. If I go here and bring up the camera, take a picture of my beautiful audience, I can go and from that picture, you see this little button up top, which is for the O365 app. I can go and click that. And all that's going to do is go and pass that picture off to the app. And then the app is going to go and upload that to my calendar. So I go do my field call. I take a bunch of pictures. It automatically uploads that to that spot on the calendar. And now if I switch back here, let's go and bring up my calendar. Here's my calendar. Here's the meeting that we're currently in. And it should, yep, there's the beautiful picture I just took, right? So nice, simple, probably not the most, applause, thank you. It was a golf clap. That was okay. That actually really jacked me up. I've never been so jacked for such a small applause. But the thing that's great about this is just how simple that was, right? Again, I don't know that that's a real scenario that people would do. I could kind of maybe imagine that. But I like it. I use it. Like, in fact, it's great because I've done this demo a number of times, and now I can kind of go back through like the different demos that I've done and see the pictures of the crowds from that demo. So it's kind of fun. That app is actually in GitHub too. So if you want to go and play around with it, you can. It uses that Android SDK. You can go and install it on your Android device today. It'll go and ask you to log in. All you got to do is just enter your email. It uses that discovery service, so it knows where to go and upload. You just enter your email and your password. You'll get prompted to trust the app, and then you're off and running. One thing, they need to update the app, because right now the app asks for permissions to everything, and so you might not be comfortable going and installing the app. It asks for permissions to all your documents and all your sites and all of that stuff, but really it just needs your calendar, so they may need to go and update that before you feel comfortable. Or just point it at a demo site, and then that makes it a little bit better. Let me go and show one of the key foundations for us now with this model. You've heard me talk about Azure a bit. Azure really is, for us now, the ideal platform. We don't want, in the past, SharePoint was kind of where the app would get installed and managed. Like when SharePoint would live underneath people's boxes, right? If you own the box, you just throw whatever you want on there. Well, now in the cloud, it's not, that world doesn't exist anymore. We don't want people throwing a bunch of full trusted managed assemblies into O365. The ideal platform of the cloud is Azure. And so we've done a lot of work with Azure where we say, the app should go into Azure, the app gets registered with Azure, that's where all the logic runs. And then just like that, this mobile app here, there's a bunch of rich APIs then that app can call to go and integrate with SharePoint. It can go and surface UI, it can get all the access to all the data. And so I'm here in my Azure portal, and you can see here that I have a list of apps. So this is that app right there, Office 365 demo. Let me zoom in a little bit more. I went and created that. It goes and gets an app ID. That gives the app its ID. When you go and build this app, and when you go and get it from the SDK, you would go and put the ID that you get in there, and then your app essentially has presence inside of Azure AD. And that's how it's able to go and request permissions. There's a couple other apps that I've already installed. So DocuSign, right? The DocuSign app, when that went and got installed, I got registered in Azure AD because it went and asked permissions to write to my OneDrive. So I could go and take any of those documents that I got and go and push them into my OneDrive. There's one here that I'll show a little really quick. Ift. Are folks familiar with If This Then That? Like I love this thing. Let me show you really quick. It's cool. If you just like kind of doing little things to geek out, man, this is a fun one to do. So basically, what Ift is, it's a trigger service. You can say, hey, if this thing happens in the cloud or on my device or in my world, go and do something else. So an example is the Philips light bulbs, Philips Hue. They're like these, can't remember what it's called, but they're these networked light bulbs. They have a channel in Ift. So I can go and have something that says, if this thing happens, go and like turn my lights on or turn my lights off. And they also have channels for your devices. So one of the recipes that shows up now in Ift is when I get home, because it can go and use my geolocation. It says when I get home, turn my lights on, right? It uses my device and then goes and does that. I'm doing more of a plug for Ift than I am for Office right now, but I really like it. It's cool. Well, one of the things that we did is we actually worked with the IFT guys, and there's a channel right now on IFT for OneNote that you can all go and try. It's been out there since the spring. So you can say, hey, if something happens, go and post it to my OneNote. If I favorite a tweet, go and copy and paste that into OneNote, right, as an example. And another thing that we've done, but this is in preview, is we've built channels around O365 calendars and mail. So an example IFT I have, because I have access to the preview, and hopefully soon we will go and give everybody else access to it. I have one that says, if I get a new email from Contoso Images, go and copy and paste it into OneNote. I could say, or go and tweet about it, or whatever, right? They're just two independent channels that you can go and tie together. So what this does is it just goes and looks at my inbox, pulls my inbox like every 15 minutes, looks at the mail that's come in over the past 15 minutes. If there's an email that's in there from Contoso Images, it'll go and take that and copy it into OneNote. So if I go and click on my OneNote here, here's my OneNote, and here's a couple when I was doing my, this is actually from back when I was doing it back in April, doing some of the examples. These mails just went automatically got copied, put into OneNote. And so the scenario here could be for the Contoso Images, I've got a team of folks that we want to go and collaborate on this account. So whenever we get an email, copy it into OneNote, the OneNote shared with my team, and now we can go and use this to go and collaborate on, hey, how should we go and reply to these folks? What are the things we should go and do, right? Really nice, simple thing, but again, that idea of Office just providing a rich set of services opens up a whole bunch of new things that really folks haven't thought of with Office in the past. I'm really excited about the ideas of things like once you get into the document, like if this thing happens inside of my spreadsheet, go and fire off this action. But that's even further out. What I just showed you isn't even available yet, so sometimes I get a little bit irresponsible at talking about things that are further out. So I love the IF stuff. Again, if you haven't played around with it, I highly recommend going and trying it out. And the stuff on the devices are really fun. So that's the idea of the O365 APIs. What I want to do now is really go into transition off of that and go start talking about tooling. To summarize, though, the set of APIs we've revealed so far are pretty basic: documents, mail, calendar, people. They are in preview mode, so you can go and use them. Wouldn't suggest using them for production level stuff because they will change. In fact, we've already got a good amount of feedback from folks, and so we will make changes based on that feedback. There still are, especially around authentic auth, there's some kind of at times flakiness, but that's all getting hardened pretty quickly. The thing, though, is that we're going to continue to improve on these, not just making the existing ones more robust, but adding richer APIs and newer bits of data that we have in our system. Office has a bunch of stuff. If folks saw the Oslo demos, the Office graph, like it's just there's some great, great things that we're excited to go and expose over the next 12 to 18 months. So let's talk a little about tools and some of the things that the Visual Studio guys have done. One of the first ones I want to show is just how easy they make it to go and connect to these services. Because when you go and connect to the service, you need to register an Azure AD. You need to specify the scopes that you want, like do you want access to mail or calendar, do you want to be read-only, read-write. And Visual Studio has a nice streamlined way of doing that now. So here I am in VS. I'm going to go on just to do this really, really quickly. I'm going to go and create a MVC app. New web app, MVC. And so off of, they actually updated these tools just this week. You can all go and get and play around with. It's called the Office 365 API preview, I think. I'll bring it up in a second as soon as this project's created. And the idea is off of any of your existing solutions, if you've got a Win8 app that you're building, if you've got a web app, like this in this case, an MVC app, they make it really easy for you to go and bring in Office 365 data to connect those set of services. Let me show you where you can go and get this first. So if you go into the extensions and updates, There is an extension here that's called Office 365 API Tools Preview. So I highly recommend going, getting that, and playing around with it. And then what you can do is, off of any project, you can just go and right-click. Boy, that is so small. I'm sorry. Try this, OnePlus. Okay. Right-click, say add a connected service. And I have Office 365 APIs now as a connected service I can go to. I can sign in, provide my O365 API credentials. It's going to go and call off to O365 and see, hey, what are the different scopes, the different types of data I can go and connect to? You can see here I've got calendar, contacts, mail, my files. I'll go and just specify I want to connect to calendar, hit OK. It'll go and ask me, do I want to have read-only or read-write? I'll say, hey, I want to have full access to the calendar, hit apply. And now that's going to go and do a few things to my project. It's going to go and download some NuGet packages. It's going to go and actually do all the right configuration in Azure AD for my app. So my app will have an app ID. It'll specify in Azure AD what that scope is that I wanted, the fact that I wanted to read-write access to the calendar. And what I'll do, let's actually go switch back here to Azure AD, and I'll show that, how that went and updated it. So we go and hit refresh. So now I can see that there's now a new app that's added here, which is that app that we just went and created in Visual Studio, right? I can go and click on this app, go and see the properties for it. And you can see that this one scope it asked for was full access to the user's calendars. So that's all registered in Azure AD. When a user now goes and logs into this app, they don't need to log into your app anymore if you don't want to. You can just have them log in directly through O365. They'll log in, they'll provide their email and their password. We, Office, will then go and prompt the dialogue saying, hey, here's the scope, the access that this app is asking for. It wants full access to your calendar. And if the user says, okay, we'll go and pass you a token, and it's just using OAuth, and now you have access to that data. So a really super simple, streamed way of getting access in a secure way to this data and building your app out. And you know, this is all stuff you could just go and do manually in Azure AD if you want. But the Visual Studio guys have done this great job of streamlining that. So they take care of all of that for you. Really, really cool. Another thing that they did, which we've talked about a little bit, but I wanted to show an example of it, is an even quicker way of just getting started, just playing with the model. Like that's kind of important, just being able to go and see, hey, how does this stuff work in general? How do I play with this? And so there's a, folks heard of NAPA? I don't think it's called NAPA anymore. I think they actually have an official name for it. So what NAPA is a, let me go control zero. Sites. Think of NAPA, and I think it now has a different name, but it's essentially a web-based version of Visual Studio. And so if you go and sign up for a developer account in O365, and anybody can go and sign up for a developer account, easiest way to find this is just go to dev.office.com, and it'll go and show you the way to go and get started. If you already have Office 365, you can go and create a specific developer site that's pre-configured with a bunch of fun goo to help you go and get started developing. This is my developer account. I can click right here on Build an App if I want to go and get started building an app. And what this is going to do is it's going to go and launch NAPA. Working on it. I like it. And so what NAPA is, there's no client install you need to do, right? It's just a pure web-based solution. It's really just think of like what OWA is to Outlook, NAPA is to Visual Studio. I have some apps that I've already gone and built, I've played around with. I can go and say I want to create a new app. I can specify what type of app I want. So let's say I want to go and create an app for Office. I'm going to go and do a visualization app, something that I can have show up inside of Excel. We'll go and call this app our Tech Ed demo app. I'll go and hit create. And what this is going to do is just going to go and create an HTML file, a CSS, JavaScript file. And it's just a really basic app that goes and helps you see how to get started. And you can use this. This is a full IDE. You can go and use this to code up any solution that you want. At some point, you'll probably decide that you want to go and click the Open in Visual Studio button because you'll want really that more rich client IDE. But this is a great way to get started. And what I can do here is I can just go and say, I can just take this example that it started with, go and hit run. And what it's going to do is it's going to take that HTML, JavaScript, CSS, it's going to take all of that, package it up, and just put it up in up on the server. And then it's going to go and take a manifest file that just declares the information about your app and upload that into SharePoint, into my developer site. And so like I was saying, you can use SharePoint as a way of distributing apps. Since apps are just web pages, there's not really, it's different than the old world of actually going and deploying apps. Really, it's just more you're registering them. You're just making Office aware that they exist and what URL Office should go and hit to go and actually download the HTML content. Building an app, one of these apps, is just like building a web app, just like building a website. You go and put your HTML up somewhere, you go and give Office a manifest that points to your HTML, and then Office will go and load that. So here it's going to go and boot up Excel Online, the Excel web application. It has the app automatically inserted inside of it that we created. Let me go and zoom in a little bit. And the app came with a couple, just like some example HTML and CSS. So it automatically goes and makes an API call to insert data into the spreadsheet if I want. So I can go and say, insert sample data. It's going to go and call a JavaScript API that goes and writes that data directly into the spreadsheet. And then it goes and reads that data, and it goes and builds a visualization. So this box here is that app that I went and built. Everything out here is just Excel. This works in the Excel-rich client, of course, as well. It has the API as actually a binding API. So my app can sit there and like respond to events. It'll see if data's changed. So if I go and change the value of Ben to be 120, hit return, the app will see that event. It'll go and automatically update its visualization. So this is just, it's all just HTML and JavaScript that's just sitting there running. But it's really easy to get started. And these NAPA templates and tools are a great way to go and play around with it if you want to get started. Yeah, so it's a great question. The question was if this document gets emailed to somebody, does it work for them? So the thing that's from a file format perspective, what's stored inside of the document is just the ID for the app, the GUID, essentially the pointer to the app. So if you and I are both in the same company and we both have access to the SharePoint site where the app was deployed to, essentially, the manifest, and I email it to you, then yeah, you would go and get it. If it was an app that came from the store, everybody can go and get access to the store, right? There's obviously security things where if I send you the app, if you've never seen that app before, we'll first say, hey, do you want to trust this app, yes or no? And assuming you say yes, then it'll just go and launch and run. But it's not like the VBA days where the actual code and everything was embedded inside of the file. The code all lives up on the server. And it's one of those things where there were some nice advantages to the fact that the code was all packaged in the file. Like VBA, there's a reason why it was great. But there were a lot of headaches, too, that came around versioning, updating, security, all of that stuff. And so we really, for now, we've gone more to the other extreme of the app is all deployed from some central server, wherever you want, whatever IIS server you want to go and stand up, essentially. The document just points back to that. Yeah, it's a great question. Is there a vetting process? So everything that's in the store, office.com store, and let me bring that up just so it's clear, so people know what I'm talking about. Like when I was in PowerPoint here, and I had gone and said insert app, and I was able to go to the store, all of these apps that show up from the store, I can go and click more apps and actually go off to office.com. These are all ones that we've vetted to a certain degree. Like, we can't, we're not going and saying that we guarantee that the person that developed this app is completely trustworthy. Like, there's a certain level that we can go, right? But we do go and track the apps. If people report problems, we can go and take them down immediately. There's kind of that single source of truth for these apps, right? For internal apps, it's really up to the IT department, right? Like, they get deployed into the SharePoint site, deployed meaning their manifest, and the IT guy can decide, I want to lock this down completely, or I want to go and have it be wide open. At Microsoft, what our internal IT has done is they've actually gone and created a SharePoint app to help manage app uploads. So anybody that builds an app can go and suggest that they want to submit the app and have it shared with everybody in the company, and then there's this workflow that they go through to see whether or not they want to go and improve it. Right? So there's a decent amount of flexibility there. Was there another question? Oh, okay, yep. Okay. So, really great flexible tooling story there. Focus a lot on that on-ramp. Yes, question.
Is this Napa app also available on on-premises SharePoint or just Office 365?
Oh, that's a great question. Is Napa available on-prem? So Napa, the Visual Studio team actually they've hosted it in Azure, right? The app is up in Azure. So you can't go and get an on-prem version of all of that and just put it onto a server on-prem. Like, it's got, that all runs off in Azure. The SharePoint integration is super light. It's a cloud-only thing. Great question, though. So you can extend Office experiences. SharePoint's kind of interesting, right? Because, like, in the Outlook world, we actually have these two products that make it very clear that there's the experience and then the data, right? You've got Exchange, which is all the data, and you've got Outlook, which is the experience, the endpoint. SharePoint is like a merge of the two, right? SharePoint is a bunch of data, but it also is a bunch of UI and experiences. So we think of there being like these core experiences that you can go and extend. SharePoint, Word, Outlook, Excel, PowerPoint. I already showed the examples inside of PowerPoint, inside of Outlook. Word, you can have the same thing, like a task pane that's showing up on the side that goes and integrates. Let me go show an example in Excel. And this gets into the question around deployment. Or a question about what's in the file. So in PowerPoint, the way that I went and used the app was I just went and said insert app, right? And that's how I got the app into the PowerPoint presentation. I can also get an app just by opening a document because the app was already inserted. And so one of the partners that we've worked with is PayPal. They've built an app, and they've also built a template. So when I'm here inside of Excel, this is just the default experience in Excel, and I go and boot it up, I get a bunch of rich templates I can go and pick from. And one of the templates I have here is this PayPal invoicing template. I'm going to go and click on that, and that template already has the PayPal app inserted into it. And I've already trusted that app, so when I open this document, it just goes and launches. If you went and opened this template and you hadn't seen the app before, you would get a little trust pump saying, hey, do you want to go and trust this app? Here's some more information if you want to learn about who built it and all of that, right? And what this app does is it goes and calls into my PayPal account and shows me the set of invoices that I've gone and created so far. And what I can do is I can just go and click on an invoice, and it'll automatically go and update the spreadsheet itself with the data from that invoice. So the thing that's running there in the task panel along the side is just HTML and JavaScript coming from PayPal servers. This is in the Excel-rich client. It calls the JavaScript, goes and inserts that data directly into the spreadsheet because it's bound to that table of data. I can also go and create a new invoice if I want. So I can go here to create, specify who it is that I want. So I'll create it to Rolando. I can go and say my tech ed t-shirt, cool t-shirt. I want 10 of those for, they're 10 bucks each. And I can also go and say my tech ed shoes. Cool shoes. Only four of those for 154 bucks. I can go and just fill that out, say send invoice, and what it will do is, I needed to start from scratch. Let me copy this stuff and see if I can just copy paste. New invoice. I'll just do one. Foobar, five, $20 each. Somehow I broke the template. I knew I was going to do that. Sometimes I think I should have been a tester, because I tend to break things a lot. But anyway, all of those invoices were created through this tool, so you know it works. but essentially what it does is it lets you go and just fill out an invoice directly from Excel. So you can go put all the items that you want, what you want to charge for them. You hit go. Whoever you put on the send to, it'll automatically go and through PayPal service, send them an invoice. And so you could go off to PayPal and you can go and see that. But we're finding that a lot of people, especially if it's got a bigger, more complex invoice, just like living in Excel and using Excel for the way of going and specifying all of that stuff. All right. Yep. Question. Question is, are there any link add-ins? So Link does have an extensibility model that they continue to invest in. They have not yet added support for what we call apps for Office, so the cloud app model. They aren't yet in the O365 APIs. They are definitely part of the Office family, and so those are things that we'll continue to look at and prioritize. But they do have a pretty good model today for how you can go and embed Link in experiences and how you can go and have your own custom UI show up. It just uses a slightly different model. You'll see this will happen for a while here because of how broad Office is and all the investments we've had over the years. There are a lot of different ways you can extend Office. I have a spreadsheet that I go and use internally that's got, literally like hundreds of rows. Like when you start breaking down things like just Excel where you've got like UDFs and XLMs and Link's got a bunch of things. Even from tooling, like if you think about the end user tooling things that we've got, you got VBE that shows up inside of like Word and Excel and PowerPoint. You have InfoPath, SharePoint Designer, Access. Like we've got kind of like a huge array of things. And so the thing that we're going to continue to work on, and it's going to take a long time, is kind of consolidating. This is the future. This is the way to go and extend Office and Office 365, and the rest of the pieces of the system will start to adopt this model over time. But it takes a while. What? Access. So, Access at SharePoint conference, we did announce support for this in Access, where like the like an example is inside of Excel. Just go file new here. So one of the apps that the Bing team built, Bing Maps, actually just shows up right there. I can go and insert it. What this does is it lets me go and bind the map to a set of data. So I can go and say insert sample data. It goes and puts that into the map, Seattle, Berlin, London, Paris, Tokyo. I could go and change Tokyo to Houston. The app will go and update. Now the thing shows up on Houston, right? So this app will work in Access, too. It's in preview right now, and I can't remember if we had to slightly change the API around how the binding works, and I don't know that we've actually updated the public app yet, but that's coming soon. But any Access solution that you go and build, you can insert one of these directly into that Access solution. And so this model, internally we call these things agaves, the way that you go and extend. Like it's kind of like, they're really similar to like in SharePoint web parts, but really this idea of web content showing up kind of as a little block that extends the experience. So we've added the support for agaves to Access this spring. We don't yet have it hooked up to the store, and so there's only like one or two that you can insert, but we plan on adding the support for the store here soon, and then any Access solution you're in, you can go and insert apps that were built to bind to that data. And the same APIs you can use to bind to the data in Excel would work for binding to data inside of Access. Okay. And in fact, I should update this to show Access as one of the contextual apps. Project is another one that I didn't talk much about. I don't know if folks use Project, but you can use the same model for extending Project. And there are a number of apps in the store for Project. Those show up essentially as task panes along the side, kind of like that PayPal one. So I was mentioning around lifecycle, we've hit on it a bit, especially with some of the questions. But this was a big thing that we focused on. Like my team has had to deal with a lot of issues over the years around how people go and track add-ins that are out there, track VBA, and really how to go and update those things, keep them robust, keep them safe, so people have visibility into things. And so one of the big things around this model that we focused a lot on is the lifecycle, making it super easy to go and deploy these things, to manage them, to track them, and to go and remove them. If there's an app that you have in your system, like one of these task pane apps for Excel, for instance, that you went and are managing through your central SharePoint store, and all of a sudden you find out that there's some security hole in it, you can just go and flip one bit there, and that'll go and disable the thing for everybody. So a really easy way of going and managing those things. So there's those two ways, distributing things through the store and distributing things through the app catalog. And we expect that the majority of apps people build will go through the app catalog. Like I said, the types of things that people want to use Office for, to extend Office, oftentimes are about those custom business processes, like that first demo, the marketing communication demo. And business processes are different for every company. It's what makes them unique, right? It's your competitive IP. You may find something from the store that solves kind of those just kind of more turnkey things, like maybe like timesheet reporting or things like that, that don't have as much IP around them. But when it's something like, you know, maybe how you manage your supply chain or how you deal with your customers, you're probably going to want some level of customization. And so that's why we really think it's important that we continue to invest in those internally built solutions and deployment around those. We're just going to keep going here. In terms of this model, we think of it as a continuous innovation. The Office clients, like just to give you an example, like we've shifted a lot. Like we used to be like every 2.5 years we'd have something new that we'd come out with, right? That was our model. It was what it's what I grew up with. It was something I got very used to. And we've just completely shifted. The cloud has caused a big shift, but even in terms of the clients, it's different. So an example here, let me flip back to that, to where in Excel. So on the insert tab, when we shipped Office 2013, the only thing that showed up here was a big blue button that just said apps. That was the RTM version. And we had all this feedback from users that didn't know what the heck that meant. They thought that meant insert Word into Excel, right? Because that's what most people thought of apps. There's also some reflection around did we pick the right feature name around apps, but that's a different issue. So with SP1 that shipped back in February, we went and updated the UI. We added two out-of-the-box apps, Bing Maps and this People Graph, and we found that people got it more. They said, oh, okay, I get what an app is. We had the store button now that shows up. That's helped discoverability quite a bit. We're seeing usage now has over doubled. For apps, just from that change. That was something we did in a service pack. The ability to go and insert an app in line in PowerPoint, that poll app that I inserted, when we shipped PowerPoint RTM, you could do apps just as a task pane. You couldn't go and insert them as content inside the presentation. With SP1, we went and updated it so you could go and do it as inline content. So even the rich clients, we're updating much more frequently than we have in the past. And in the service, clearly, like there's new features that we're pushing out very regularly. Those O365 APIs, that was something that we announced and put out into the service this spring. We've updated those a bit over time, and we're going to continue to innovate and update those going forward. And so we're going to continue to evolve. We'll have a pretty good regular cadence around how we talk about those things. We're going to get much better about talking about the roadmap of what's to come. I think this is a thing we've been talking about for a little while, and we're still not doing the best job around how we talk about our roadmap. And so that's a thing that we're still brainstorming the best way to go and communicate that stuff, but we're going to get better and better around being really clear about here's what's coming so that people can go and prepare for it, and especially if it may impact your app, so people will know. So a great place to go and get started if this is new to you, or even if you know a bit about it but you haven't gone there yet, dev.office.com. There's a bunch of great, rich content here that you can go and use to get started. Gives you information about how to go and get your dev tenant set up if you want to go and play around with Office 365 and start building some apps. That's the one-stop shop. This is the experience right there. This is dev.office.com. I don't know if it's been updated since this slide was created, but I think we still have O365 APIs as the top level thing there. And you know, go play around there, play with code samples. Another key thing for feedback is we're using user voice now for feedback. And so user voice, you can, there's a channel on user voice where you can go. Do I have a link to that? We'll just go to the AKMS Office Dev Feedback, and that'll go and point you to user voice. But essentially, you can go any ideas that you have, suggestions you want, whether it's new features, bug fixes, or even just code samples or documentation. You can go and put that up there. It's a community-based thing, so other people can go and vote on the suggestions. We go and look at all of them, and of course, the voting helps us go and think about how we would prioritize those. And we'll go and we're not committing to doing everything that's there, but we'll at least go and get back to folks about if we're not going to do it, why we wouldn't do it, or if it's something that we'll look at in the future. And Stack Overflow is a place that the PMs are now spending a lot more time answering questions. In fact, that's kind of key. If you want to go and ask questions, Stack Overflow is the place to go. And we're really focused on having good, rich community engagement. And if there's things we can do better, we'd love to hear it. And then GitHub, of course, right? There's a lot of code samples will all be out on GitHub. The audience was, there are a lot of SharePoint folks here, so I really highly recommend people go to the SharePoint Power Hour, which is at 1. They'll go in a lot more detail around the O365 APIs. They've got some really cool demos around using Visual Studio to build solutions that are connected to those APIs. They'll go into much more depth. It'll be a great session, so I really recommend for folks that are interested in that to go there. And with that, I'm done. I think that there's more things for me to go and click through here. A lot of related sessions. This is the last day, though, so I think most of the related sessions already happened. All right. So thank you very much. Thanks for your time. Oh, and there's some T-shirts in the back. I don't know the rules on the T-shirts, but everybody gets a T-shirt. Thanks for being such a great audience.